take two, you piece of crap phone. That's the first time that's happened in a long time. I'm not laughing now. I was at the beginning of that audio. No, I can't beat this out. This is going straight to the web. I'm sat with Joe Pasquale. That should cheer me up.
Yeah, that'd cheer you up a lot.
Let's talk about horror.
Oh, let's talk about anything you like. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be.
I'm going to dial it back. Okay. I did do a very long intro about how I've been having such an awesome morning working with Joe Pasquale in association with the Open University. You called me up last night, got to London in the nick of time, and you were early. I couldn't believe it. So we pretty much got our work done.
Yeah, we got it done. I would rather be an hour early than 5 minutes late. I'm one of those people, a bit OCD on timekeeping, and I don't like it when people are late for me. So I try and do the total opposite of that. I'm never late for people if I can help it.
And the kind of things we've talked about, we talked about you in prison, we talked about you...
You make it sound like I've been in prison. I have, but I didn't get done. I did a documentary for Discovery, I think it was, one of those channels, and I spent a week in Costa Rica.
Not an easy prison, then?
No. I said, do you want to do an open prison or a closed prison? So I'm thinking, open prison would be nice, be a bit of open air. And, of course, it wasn't. All these prisoners, I was mingling with them, and there was 900 prisoners there, and 600 of them had knives. And they could, a fight broke out everywhere. And I had a fight while I was in there. I took on the boxing champion of the prison. His name was Ninja. I should have known better, really. I didn't see it coming at all. And we did three rounds. It was all right. He could have killed me, but he didn't. He went easy on me. But I thought at least I'd get some respect from the prisoners, which I did after that. And they
because you do
me.
Box.
I do box. I'm not very good. I get beat up a lot. Last week. I knocked a policeman out because a lot of cops from the Met go down there.
And it's where is this? No, you're all getting way too popular.
It's in Eltham, and a place called Gumshield Gym in Eltham. And this copper, he got knocked out because he actually slipped in my blood, basically. That's what happened. But it's good to be able to punch a copper on the nose and not get nicked. So I quite like that aspect of it.
Going to prison voluntarily and beating up the police.
Yeah.
Not your normal kind of life of a comedian, actor, writer. The fact we started talking about horror was a bit freaky. I wasn't just dropping that in there. I don't know. Many people coming from a comedic background and going into their darker selves?
Yeah, I think that all comedy is pain plus time. That's what they reckon it is. Comedy is pain plus time equals something that's funny. Because at the time, the pain isn't funny, but if it's 6 months, you can laugh at it. And I think most comics have a dark side to them anyway, you know. And I had a bit of an eye-opening experience about 11 years ago. I did I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I didn't want to do it, but I did it because I had nothing else on at the time. And my agent talked me into it, all that sort of stuff. And when I got out there, I loved the experience. And it does make you face things that you're scared of. You know, I was scared of flying. I didn't even want to fly to Australia. And when I get out there, they throw me out of an aeroplane and strap me to some 15-stone Australian. And that's it, no training, out you go. And as you're flying through the sky... he said to me, all you got to do is breathe. So I said, well, I'll be breathing. He said, no, but a lot of people hold their breath, so don't. The best way to breathe is to scream. Then once you run out of air, just take another lungful and then scream again. And then went through, so I screamed like a girl. And we went through this cloud, and of course, cloud is moisture. It looked like it was completely wet, it soaked. It looked like I wet myself. So I took advantage of that, and a little bit of wee came out, but no one noticed. They thought it was just a cloud. And I thought, if I can jump out of planes, and then a week later they said to me, we want you to hang out of an helicopter and fill flags down a rope ladder 1,000 feet over the sea with sharks in the water. It's fair enough. So I did that, and I thought, if I can spend 3 weeks in a jungle as well with Janet Street Porter, who can eat an apple for a tennis racket, I can do anything. So I came home, and I got a first lesson in flying a Piper Warrior and Piper Cherokee single-engine aircraft, and then 6 months later... I got my private pilot's license, and I thought, well, if I can do that, what else have I been scared of? So I thought, I've never had a fight, I should take up boxing. So I took up boxing, got beat up a lot, and as a byproduct that I started running, I thought, what else haven't I done then? What could I use this for? And I did the London Marathon. It took me 5 hours, 20 minutes, which is a great experience. I loved it. What was great about the London Marathon was, for me, it was I mingled with a lot of top sportsmen that were doing it, and they said, you get nipple rub. So I said, okay, what do you do? Put Vaseline on it? They said, no, put corn plasters on it. right? And that's what you do. You have to put corn plasters on, because you can put normal plaster on, it wears off, you know, rubs off. But with corn plaster, it's got this stuff on, you know, it just won't go. It's like super glue on your nipples. And you don't get no nipple rub at all. The only problem is, it doesn't come off very easy after. In the shower, trying to get it off, it was like that. You had to pull it off in the end. And I'm not very hairy at all. The only place I'm hairy is around my nipples. And then I pulled them off, it pulled all the hair out around in a circular area, like a little target around my nipple. It looks like I've got a polo around each nipple when I pulled it off. Anyway, you don't need to know that stuff.
Just remind me, I've already forgotten that there's three words you just said that I thought would make a great title. I'm going to have to listen back to this, but it involved nipples.
Oh, really?
Oh, man, don't.
So then after that, I thought, what else haven't I done? I thought, I'm not getting the exams leading to the Open University now. And so that's what I started to do. I started to, I applied to start studying with them. And I'm still doing it now, doing the studying for a Bachelor of Science degree there, BSc. And I hope to get that in the next year to 18 months now. I've done about 210 points, doing another module which takes me up to 210 at 60, so it takes me up to 270. So, yeah, about another 18 months, I reckon.
It's kind of, you've mentioned a few times today about education and how it betters you, and that's why you're doing it, to better yourself. That epiphany you had in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and I don't think you mentioned you won that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did win that, yeah, but that was 11 years ago, and that wasn't the point of the talking about it, so I won it, it was just
no, but the fact that your career kind of, you went and did a Hollywood movie and some other stuff, and yet, to me, the personal triumphs, the overcoming of all your fears is a much bigger win than any career.
I totally agree. Yeah, I like what I do for a living. It's just a job still. I do look at it as a job. The word celebrity doesn't even mean anything. It's cack, that word. It doesn't mean nothing. You know, just because I've been on the telly a few times, for me, it still manages, enables me to pay my bills, and it lets me to do the things I want to do, which is study with the OU. And it's not just betterment. I learnt more in the past 3 years. In the past 3 years than I did in the previous 50 of my life. So just learning about the world we live in, you know, on a scientific level, and also opening my mind to be able to write stuff as well, which I've never thought I'd be able to write stuff. You know, I've got plans in my head for a few books now because of the writing course that I'm doing. I'm just about to start advanced writing now. I've just finished the level 2 writing course, and I'm going to level 3 next week, in actual fact.
What kind of things do you learn on a writing course? I mean, because my spelling's pretty bad. I guess you do that on level 1.
Yeah, I think you do. It's not about with your spelling. It's not about the grammar. The grammar does come into it. It's about opening your mind and being able to do it, getting rid of writer's block, how to do that. It teaches you to free write. It teaches you to write regularly on a daily basis. Just put pen to paper. Don't think about your writing. If you can actually do the exercise that they say, you won't get writer's block. You might not be able to use everything you write, but you won't get writer's block if you use the exercises that they give you. And that is a huge thing, is putting pen to paper and just write all the time. It doesn't matter what it is you're writing, just constantly write. And then you circle the bits that you like, use that as a story, use that as a title. I've got loads of stuff in there just from the exercises I've done. I don't know where to start now. My brain is full of these ideas, and I'm like, which one do I start with now?
Just getting them out fast enough.
Yeah, it is, and it's also getting the time to do it as well. But it is a case of being disciplined and going, I'm going to write today, I'm going to sit down and do it, and rather than letting life take over.
So what about your continued foray into documentaries? If I was a massive, like, I don't know, director, I'm massive anyway, but if I was a massive director, and I said to you, what do you want to do, Joe? What do you want to do? Give me three things.
Okay, I'll give you the three things. One of them is called Joe versus a Volcano. I want to go around the world and visit, because I do that anyway now, since I did a lot of geology courses, because I started doing geoscience, and they changed the module, so I'm just doing an open degree now. I go to South America a lot and climb volcanoes out there. I want to do one and just showing people how the world has changed through volcanoes. I know it's all been done before, but not in an amusing way, and also talk about stuff that's going to happen in the future, you know, that all these dormant volcanoes that are there waiting to change the landscape, waiting to change our atmosphere. You know, Yellowstone Park, sooner or later that's going to go. And when that goes, it's overdue to go now. I think it goes every 750,000 years, and it's about 250,000 years overdue, something like that. And when it goes, it could change the face of our planet completely, could wipe us all out, our atmosphere could change completely. Who knows what it is, because it's just a huge caldera, which is a sunken volcano, for want of a better word. And it's massive. It's, you know, it's extraordinarily big. I can't remember how many millions and millions of square tons of lava is down there, of magma is there. It's not lava until it reaches the Earth's surface.
I always want to go magma.
Yeah, it's a great word to get around your tongue, isn't it? So that's the first one I'd do, Joe versus a volcano. I'd also want to do One Man in His Bog. I have a sit on toilet, which everybody has a sit on toilet, but I have one that you actually ride about.
Oh, you ride that on stage once?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
You still got it?
I've still got it, yeah. I love my sit on bog.
How did you get here today?
I did not on the bog because you have to pay congestion charge. You don't want that, but it's not that. You have to pay the constipation charge, that's what you could pay on that. Anyway, I want to do One Man in His Bog. I want to go around the world visiting all the famous toilets on my toilet and call it One Man in His Bog and interview people on, you know, about the toilets. So, because it's amazing when you look at it. It wasn't Thomas Crapper that invented the toilet, after all. And people think it was Thomas Crapper, nothing to do with it. They just added his name to it, and that's where the word crap come from, it's obvious, but it's not. Long, long time ago, the Romans had it properly. You know, the Romans had proper
drainage. I've been to Ephesus.
Really?
Yeah, where you get to see where the slave boys used to sit and warm up the very cold slabs. And there was a little channel of water that would pass in front of the toilet where you could actually reach down.
That's it.
And there was running water that you could wash
your hands in. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and they used
amazing.
To wipe their bum with a sponge on
that's
a stick.
It. That's it.
We used to take sponges on sticks to school just to annoy the teachers after that.
Yeah, no, that's right. But so, it makes you put your candy floss for the rest of your life, though.
Yeah.
So that's that one. And also you had, I can't remember what it was called, there was a, the keeper of the throne, I think it was called, the king used to have someone sitting on his toilet, you know, Henry VIII, in those days, they would have someone sitting on his loo to keep it warm for him. That's amazing.
And then, how the other half live.
And they'd have to wipe his bottom as well. That's not good, is it?
No, because other people never do it properly, I imagine.
Well, it depends who you get, love. You're not getting the right people in. Anyway, that's number two. Excuse pun. And the third one would be something I'd want to call the Way, which is Pastino. It's a walk all the way through from France all the way to I can't remember what sea it is, but it's a way. I think it was St James that did it, or one of the saints did the walk. It's a pilgrimage. A lot of Catholics do it every year, all the way through Spain. It's about 600 kilometres. And
isn't the Alchemist based on a period, a part
that's
of
it? Compostello, something like that. Yeah, it's the Way of St James, I think it's called, and. At the end of it, you go to this. There's a church where his body is buried, and it's just a lot of Catholics do it every year as a pilgrimage. And you're supposed to earn your keep as you go along. I'd like to do that as a documentary. You take no money and earn your keep on the land as you go, and just see what happens.
I did a very small version of that, Land's End to John O'Groats, using no money whatsoever, just using Twitter.
And how did you get?
It was unbelievable.
How was your form of transport?
Whatever. You know, I was, you know, thumb out. Someone bought me a train ticket.
Yeah.
All kinds of crazy stuff. So, yeah, we should talk more. Listen, you got so much on today. I really appreciate you just taking the time right now. Where can people find you online should they want to see where you're going
to
be next?
You can go to joepasquale.com and that sort you right out. It's all on there. But there's also a website for incontinence, which is www.///
I'll be sure to check it out. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.